Hello, this is Matt, WB2SRI. Welcome to round two, part one of my 2022 shortwave receiver comparison shootout. This is part one of several. You may recall that earlier this year, I dragged eight of my favorite receivers up to the roof, hooked them up to a portable antenna, and compared their abilities to demodulate the same signals. For the most part, you may remember that the similarities between the radios were more striking, I think, than the differences. This time, we're going to be using the same setup, but we'll be listening to not eight, but 15 different radios, including everything from top-of-the-line Dream receivers from the 1980s to the present day, as well as some well-regarded consumer portables and some RF test gear. The equipment ranges in price from around $100 or so to, well, a lot more than that, as you know if you are interested in radios. I'll talk more about the lineup in a moment. If you've never listened to one of my receiver comparisons before, please make sure you're listening in stereo and, if at all possible, using headphones. This is important because I'll be using the left and right stereo channels to play received audio from two different radios simultaneously. The idea is that you can switch back and forth between the two radios we're listening to just by switching earpieces, and you can use the rewind and function to listen over and over to get a good sense of how two radios compare on exactly the same signal at the same time. Now, once again, I've decided to take advantage of the good weather and do this up on my roof. I've brought 15 radios up here with me, and that was no small feat to drag up here, along with my portable Wellbrook FLX1530 loop antenna and an RF distribution amplifier. All 15 radios are hooked up on their antenna input to the distribution amp, so they're all getting exactly the same signal at the antenna jack at the same time. And each radio's audio is taken directly from either its line out jack or its headphone output and fed via an isolation interface into my audio recorder. To the extent it's practical and to reduce noise, the radios and other gear are all powered by batteries, although in a few cases we had to resort to AC power for some of the radios. So the idea here is that you get a reasonably fair comparison of the same signal at the input and how the different radios demodulate and handle them in the real world. Now, I should note, all of this is being done in real time. There's no post-editing, so as I'm speaking, I have no idea what the band conditions are going to be or whether they'll hold up consistently. What you hear is what we got. The test signal we're listening to for this round is the external service of Radio España on 17855 kilohertz in the early evening. Its transmitter is in Spain. We're located in Washington, D.C., and the RF gods are, at the moment, smiling on us enough that we're getting a solid signal, but with some deep fades. And this is really a kind of an ideal set of circumstances for comparing different radios to each other. What are our radios? Well, the 15 receivers are first the ICOM R8600. This is a high-quality current production DC to daylight receiver with an excellent reputation on shortwave. We're going to be using this as our reference radio, so each radio will be compared to the signal that the R8600 is getting one by one. We're listening to it in the background right now. Next up will be the AOR AR1. This is another DC to daylight radio from the early 2000s. It's very expensive, and it doesn't have much of a reputation on shortwave, or really in the United States at all. So it'll be interesting to hear how it does. Another radio that we'll be listening to that's fairly obscure is the Reuter RDR Pocket Receiver. This is an interesting high-performance German radio, difficult to get in the U.S., small production, but it packs a lot of performance and features into a surprisingly small package with a nice spectrum display. Next, we'll listen to the AOR 7030 Plus. This is a very well-regarded and sought-after AOR radio that was introduced around 2000 and was designed and made in the United Kingdom. And then we will listen to the Drake R8D, another very well-regarded radio, and the last of Drake's receivers. It also dates back to the early 2000s. After that, we'll listen to the Drake R7A from the early 1980s. This is probably one of the last of the great analog receivers, and it holds up pretty well today. Then we'll move on to some consumer-oriented radios. First, the Sony ICF6800W, top-of-the-line consumer desktop receiver from the early 1980s, all analog, although it has a digital frequency display. And we'll listen then next to its next competitor, the Panasonic RF4900. It's technically a portable radio, but it's kind of a boat anchor form factor, and it was a lot of work getting it up here to the roof. Next, we'll listen to some less expensive consumer-oriented portable radios, most of which are still available today. First, the Texan H501X. This is a newly released large format portable radio, and it has two speakers. It's a little large to travel with, but it works nicely on a desktop. Then we'll listen to another Texan radio, the PL990X. This is a kind of smaller version of the H501. And we'll then listen to two radios from Sangene. First, the classic ATS909X. A good quality radio, although some people complain that it has some sensitivity problems. And then its successor, the 909X2, which adds some features and may have fixed some of its shortcomings. And then we'll listen to kind of the radio that started it all for small digital portables, the Sony ICF7600GR, the last of the Sony shortwave receivers, introduced in 2001. And then we'll listen to the smallest radio of our lineup, the Belka DX, made in Belarus. This is an interesting little radio. It's very small, and it is certainly the radio you'd want to use in your spy lair to listen to number stations, I think. And then our last receiver is kind of a bit of a ringer, the Narda Signal Shark 3310. This is a piece of RF test equipment. It's essentially a spectrum analyzer and signal analyzer that covers up to 8.5 gigahertz. Demodulation and shortwave are not its intended purpose, although it does include the feature, and it's intended to be able to locate and detect signals even in the presence of very strong interference. So, with that, let's start listening to 17855, and we'll start with the ICOM. Let me put that on both channels, and I'll get out of the way for a moment. Okay, now let's start our comparisons. First, let me move the ICOM from the center to just the left channel, and we'll put each successive receiver on the right channel one by one. Okay, so first, let's listen to the AOR AR1.
Sobre el mundo DX, la radio y las telecomunicaciones. Sean todos bienvenidos a este Amigos de la Onda. Hoy emitimos, como es habitual, desde la sede de Radio Nacional de España en Madrid, con Ana Porras en la parte técnica, Juan Carlos López Moreno en la producción, y Antonio Gutiérrez.
All right, we're getting to the top of the hour. All right, next up, the Reuter RDR Pocket.
queremos agradecer a todos los oyentes que nos envían sus mensajes de voz. Los vamos a escuchar.
Hola amigos de Radio Exterior de España, aquí habla el ángel del Señor desde Fronteras que habla Brasil. Quiero decir que sí, lo escuchamos a ustedes por la onda corta, tanto por los 11.940 kHz, como también por los 17.855 kHz, siempre con buena señal. Sigo escuchando también el programa en portugués por la música que me entretiene.
All right, now the AOR
70-30 plus. Y escuchándolos por acá en la frecuencia de 11.940 kHz. Con un excelente señal de entre 5 y 9.
Okay, and now the Drake R8B.
Gracias. ¿Qué tal? Buenos días, ¿cómo están? Mi nombre es Omar Gaitán. Nos saludamos aquí desde Guatemala, Centroamérica. Yo los escucho desde, vamos, 1994. Hasta que se desconectaron en 2013 porque estaba viendo en un especialito, estaba viendo en un podcast que el emisor o la repetidora de Cariari la cancelaron por motivos económicos. Pero ahorita me topé con la sorpresa que todavía están emitiendo en onda corta, ¿verdad?
Okay, now let's move on to the analog world, the Drake R7A.
Casi, si no estoy mal, cumplió 50 años, ¿verdad? Entonces, un gustazo. Ahí siempre estamos en sintonía.
Queremos conocer a nuestros oyentes. Radio Exterior de España pone a su disposición un número de WhatsApp para enviar una nota de voz.
Es el 34, código de España, 680-688-698. Repetimos, 34-680-688.
Okay, I love the R7A, it's a fun radio to use. It makes you feel like you're using a receiver. Let's now give a listen to the Sony ICF6800W.
Por supuesto, sus comentarios, sus opiniones. Si quiere que nos pongamos en contacto con ustedes, déjenos su nombre, apellidos y teléfono o dirección de correo electrónico. Esperamos sus notas de voz de WhatsApp en el número 34, código de España, 680-688-698.
All right, and now the Panasonic RF4900.
Necesita ponerse en contacto con el programa. Hágalo por correo postal a la siguiente dirección. Radio Exterior de España, programa Amigos de la Onda Corta, apartado de correos número 156202, código postal 28080, Madrid, España. Si desea remitir un correo electrónico, deberá enviarlo a...
And now the first of our modern portables, the Texon H501.
Amigos de la Onda Corta, se ha trasladado a la redacción de Radio Clásica, la emisora hermana de Radio Nacional de España, dedicada precisamente a eso, a la música clásica. Y queremos hablar con Martín Yade, que es el responsable del programa Sinfonía de la Mañana, que además fue por este programa Premio Ondas en el año 2016, y queremos hablar...
Okay, you may have noticed there was a little bit of Intermod under there. I knocked it down to the sensitivity down to the normal setting, reducing the gain a bit, and that eliminated it. This and the other Texon were the only two radios that suffered from this problem on the external antenna. So now let's listen to the Texon 990X. Again, we're using a little bit of attenuation to get rid of some Intermod.
es algo de lo que nunca se habla y merece la pena explorarlo.
Bueno, conmigo está mi compañera Coral Consuegra. Hola, Coral, ¿qué tal?
Hola, pues muy bien, con ganas de hablar de ópera y rally.
Pero además es un género, como decía Martín Yade, muy desconocido.
Sí, a mí lo primero que me gustaría tal vez aclarar o saber es qué diferencia una ópera como entendemos...
Okay, you may have heard some intermod in there until I knocked the attenuation down again on the Sandrin 990, the Texan 990X. All right, now let's listen to the Sandrin 909X.
Suficientemente explícito como para que toda acción pueda ser comprendida. Es decir, la mayor parte de las óperas, todas las óperas que se han escrito, pues evidentemente tienen acotaciones en libreto que hacen innecesaria otra explicación o la describe la propia música. Entonces, en ese sentido, tenemos el ejemplo de uno de los títulos más famosos del género, que se lo debemos a Giancarlo Menotti. Pero Menotti quizás sea la figura más sobresaliente porque él también es el autor de una ópera que fue escrita.
Okay, and then its successor, the 909X2.
Bueno, los Reyes Magos. Y entonces se convirtió en un pequeño éxito. Él ya había hecho The Old Maid and the Thief del año 1939 y tuvo tanto éxito en su emisión radiofónica el 22 de abril de ese año que tuvo que realizar una adaptación escénica y ahí tuvo que alterar el libreto y transformarlo para eliminar pues explicaciones que eran necesarias en la radio, pero que en el escenario bastaba con visualizar las acciones de los personajes. O sea, lo simplificó porque pensaba que si no podía ser demasiado redundante vista por los espectadores.
Este género nace...
Okay, now let's give a listen to the Sony ICF-7600GR.
Además de esas características que tú has citado, el tiempo, la duración es lógicamente mucho menor comparables con las óperas tradicionales.
Sí, porque pensemos que las óperas del barroco tienen una media de 3 horas, en el romanticismo pues ya van reduciéndose a 2, 2 y media, pero evidentemente la radio se anticipa a la televisión en el concepto de concisión, de rapidez, de ideas que fluyen telegráficamente, ¿no?
Okay, and now the Tiny Belka DX.
Los dramas radiofónicos no duraban más allá de media hora o una hora, porque el público también pues tenía otras cosas que hacer, es decir, qué persona disponía de 2 o 3 horas para estar ahí, no irse a casa a dormir, que había gente que tenía que trabajar, etcétera, ¿no? Entonces, pues hay ejemplos y muchos de ellos son de una hora, como mucho hora y media. Estoy pensando en las 2 óperas que aportó Nino Rota, en La noche de un neurasténico y Los dos tímidos, en las que, por cierto, otro elemento...
Okay, and now, finally, our last receiver, the Narda Signal Shark 3310. You'll note a delay because this is an SDR DSP radio with a signal path that delays it by maybe a third of a second or so. All right, we got some deep fades in there. So a couple of notes. The two Texan radios, the H501 and the 990, both suffered from intermod without adding some attenuation. All the other radios were at full sensitivity, coming right out of the RF distribution amplifier. So right off the bat, we can see that the Texan radios may not be great for hooking up to an external antenna. Every radio has a solo track that's also available. So the band conditions were changing. We were hearing some periods of fading, some periods of very strong signals. And so if you want to listen to an individual radio that you're interested in, or want to compare two radios, one against the other, other than the 8600, you can do that just by downloading the solo tracks associated with each radio. You don't have to listen to this narration track. That'll get you 20 minutes of solid reception from the radio that you're interested in. All right, so there'll be one or two more parts where we'll listen to some more challenging signals. But in the meantime, thanks very much for listening, and I hope to hear you soon, or I hope you hear me soon. 73.